Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, the weather finally seems to be improving, so it must finally be spring, right? Well, it means it's time for the spring harvest, a great time of the year for fresh fruits and veggies at the farmers markets in our region. We have two experts here today who can offer tips to help you make the most of what your local farmers market has to offer this season. Cheryl Paff is the owner of Black Eyed Susie's Food Stand and Catering and manager of the Rhinebeck Farmers Market. She originally opened Black Eyed Susie's Organic Cafe in New York's East Village in the 1990s, but caught the travel bug and went all over the world in search of good food. She then returned to New York's Hudson Valley and has become an expert on the culinary delights the region has to offer. Ken Migliarelli runs Migliarelli Farm in northern Dutchess County. They're known for greens, root vegetables, legumes, squashes, corn, tomatoes, melons, apples, and more. And they're a mainstay at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market. Migliarelli Farm has been growing since 1933, when its founder, Angelo Migliarelli, brought a few broccoli rabe seeds to New York from Italy. Great story there, and we'll learn more about the history of that farm. Cheryl, Ken, welcome to the show today. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. It's 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online. You can email us. WAMC, no, that's not the email address, Ray. It's voxpop@wamc.org. You can check out our website, wamc.org. We have a Vox Pop section. It's wamc.org/voxpop. You could comment there. You can also comment on Facebook, our Vox Pop wall post. It's WAMC Radio. You could tweet even at WAMC Vox Pop. All those things are good. Calls are even better. 1-800-348-2551. Well, finally, it has been one heck of a winter, and now it's time, and the farmers markets are sprouting up. They're here, and we have one opening up, tomorrow, right?
A week from Sunday, on Mother's Day, the Rhinebeck Farmers Market goes outside for the season.
Well, that's pretty exciting, and you're ready? Are you ready for that?
We are so ready for that. We've been inside. We have a winter market that goes every other Sunday in the winter. And then on Mother's Day, traditionally, we go outside, and everyone looks forward to that.
What sort of things can we expect to see right out of the chute?
Let's let Ken answer that.
Well, we started picking some winter over greens. They're greens that are planted in September, October. They go dormant through the winter, and so we have broccoli rabe, kale, collards, spinach, wintered over some scallions. Some of the other items didn't make it through the winter.
It was a rough winter.
Well, it was real cold and snowy, and we do markets throughout the winter, outside and inside. So it was probably one of the toughest winters to be selling product. A lot of it was some of our markets are in New York City.
Yeah.
So, they were getting quite a few snowstorms
and freezing
temperatures, so it's kind of hard to be selling out there.
So you told me before the show started that your family started by farming in the Bronx. Explain that one.
Well, my grandfather came over from Italy, and he worked on the Holland Tunnel, and then he worked on a farm and raised enough money to buy a small piece of land in the Bronx, and that was in the early 30s. And
I mean, you think of the Bronx, you don't think about farms, but really, they were on Long Island, they were in New York, and do you ever go back and take a look at what it's like now?
Oh yeah.
And what's there now?
Well, homes, I mean, the Bronx wasn't all concrete and brick at one time, so.
That's great. Do you have any photos of that time?
We do have some, but actually, a barn burnt down in the 60s, and my dad had a lot of photos that perished
never
in that
made
fire.
It, huh? That's Ken Migliarelli of Migliarelli Farm in Northern Dutchess. So where are you in Northern Dutchess now?
In the Red Oak area. It's a northern, western part of Dutchess County.
And that's, as you said, a very proactive agricultural region.
Yep, it's really strong. We just passed 3,000 acres of land in conservation easement.
Yeah.
So it's and it's the soils that make it so important in that area.
What's so good about the soil there?
Well, it's got a eclectic, we have these nice hills and well-drained soils for fruit, and then we have these real nice bottom, sandy, gravelly soils for growing crop farming, and I do a lot of my vegetable growing there.
Cheryl, we talked about ramps. Now, this is a time of year for ramps, too. explain for those of us, myself included, perhaps a tad ignorant of this, what are ramps and why do people go so crazy about them?
Well, ramps are in the allium family. They're a wild leek. Some people call them a wild onion or garlic of the woods. It's the first green that pops out of the ground in the spring. So when you go through the forest and everything's brown and leafy, you see these little green shoots. So people get excited because it's the first thing that they can forage and cook with.
And what do they taste like?
They taste like garlic. Garlicky. They look like a scallion with a leafy top, purple bottom.
I would be deathly afraid if it was me out there wandering around the woods of picking the wrong thing.
Yeah, you should know what you're doing.
All right, well, let's go to the phones and see if we can find somebody who knows what they're doing. It's Rachel in Leverett, Mass. You're on.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One of the things I wanted to ask your guests about is whether the areas that they live in, Dutchess County, for example, have fiddlehead ferns coming in. I know they can be farmed. I know they're forageable, a little bit like the ramps. But we're starting to get them. I'm in Franklin County, Massachusetts, just north of Amherst.
Okay.
And they're starting to come into the farmers markets, and they are fabulous. And so I was curious about that.
We haven't picked any, but there are some growers in the area that have started picking some. I think they come in about the same time that ramps come.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with a fiddlehead fern?
You rinse them out really well, and then we saute them quickly with a little bit of garlic and a little bit of olive oil, and they're magnificent. They're our green for a week or so, end of April, beginning of May every year.
Nice. Anybody on the panel here had that, tried that?
I've had them. I haven't foraged them, but I've cooked them. They're sort of like a green bean, kind of snappy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, Rachel, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you for the show. I love it.
Good luck with the fiddleheads this year. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We talk farmers market and the spring harvest here with Cheryl Paff and Ken Migliarelli. And your calls at 1-800-348-2551. Joanne and Rhinebeck, you're next.
Hello, Joanne.
Oh, you got to turn your radio down just a little bit, Joanne.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. I can hear myself, and I sound great, but it's... Okay, here we go. You're on.
Now? Hi, my name is Joanne, and I'm in Rhinebeck, and I'm a huge fan of the farmer's market and of Black-Eyed Susie's. I'd like to know how they get those fabulous recipes that they give out at the market, which... they make up, and you're able to get everything to make right from the recipe card, right there at the market.
Great question.
How do they do that?
How do you do it?
Well, I create a lot of the recipes for the market, and I've entered them in recipe contests and won blue ribbons on them. But basically, we're inspired by the farmers. Whatever they're bringing to the market, that's the best way to shop at the market, is to go and see what's there and then, you know, think about what you can create with what's in season right then. And so that's what we do. We create recipes to inspire people so they can sort of pick it up as just a shopping list and go through the market, get their ingredients, and make that dish. Sort of like this rhubarb cake that
which looks really good. And we'll get to that after the break, but that looks really good. What's one of your most popular recipes?
Well, I won a blue ribbon on a tomatillo chicken tacos with goat cheese last year.
Mm.
And that was made with Ken's tomatillos and local chicken and local goat cheese.
Nice.
And that's super popular.
What's your favorite, Joanne?
It's very hard to choose. I go and I try them all. This winter, they had a wonderful winter stew one. They have great soup ones. And then they show me how to use the fresh vegetables that I pick up at the market, which is so helpful.
That's great. So the farmers market, in addition to providing great, fresh, local food, it's an education as well.
Yes, yes. What is the secret of this fantastic farmers market? I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe
but
we'll find out.
But it's my favorite.
Well, thank you, Joanne. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. By the way, you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. I don't know if you've seen the new app, but if you'd like to, you know, you can take WAMC with you when you're at the farmer's market. And don't play it too loudly, But we have a new WAMC app. You can go to the iTunes Store or you can go to the Google Play Store and download it. Just search for WAMC. So that's a nice thing. What did you bring here, Ken?
We have some tomato juice and Bloody Mary mix made from our tomatoes, obviously, from last year.
And what else is in there? Now, I like my Bloody Marys. Plenty of horseradish, so I hope there's some. I can see that looks like there's horseradish in there.
Yeah, those are small chunks of horseradish, and it's fresh horseradish, so it's really got a nice, powerful, pungent flavor.
I wish you had told our producer we would have brought vodka, but we alas, no alcohol on the show at this point. But we'll try it straight up. We'll try some tomato juice here in the break, and then Cheryl Paff, you brought what?
I brought a rhubarb Johnny cake, which is made with a local corn flour from Wild Hive Farm. It's a great product, and it makes an excellent cake.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll try some good stuff. It's Farmer's Market. It's the spring harvest. Cheryl Papp is here. Ken Migliorelli. Yours truly, Ray Graff. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, just walked in. She always seems to walk in right about at food time. I don't know what's going on. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Sarucci New Paltz, homemade Indian cuisine with a selection of gluten-free, local, and organic choices, SarucciIndian.com. Orange County Tourism and the scenic Hudson Valley, featuring spring gardens, wineries, boat cruises, country inns, and a full schedule of upcoming events, OrangeCountyTourism.org. Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. around City Hall, SchenectadyGreenMarket.org. And East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com for information.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551. The weather starting to warm, springtime perhaps here for good. Cheryl Paff is here, owner of Black Eyed Susie's Food Stand and Catering and manager of the Rhinebeck Farmers Market. Also, Ken Migliorelli. Ken, how do you really say your name? What's the right way to say that name?
Well, the Italians say it Migliorelli.
Migliorelli. All right. Ken Migliorelli runs Migliorelli Farm in Northern Dutchess County, and he is here. They're known for greens, root vegetables, legumes, squashes, tomatoes, and you brought tomato juice. So I'm a sucker for tomato juice, so let's try this. This is, what's in this? Tomatoes, yeah.
And just a little salt.
Well, let's give it a shot.
Oh. Super fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good base for whatever you want to cook with also.
I can drink it, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll have a little more.
And it's running about 140 milligrams of sodium. So it's...
just enough.
Yeah.
Perfect. 1-800-348-2551. Well, that's delicious. And I like it at room temperature, too, so it's perfect. And then, Cheryl, you brought a delicious cake here. You call it a Johnny cake? What's that?
Johnny cake is a dessert that my great-grandmother used to make for us when we were young. She had blueberry bushes, so if we would pick the blueberries, she would make the Johnny cake.
Uh-huh.
So I make a version of it now using this local corn flour and then just changing up the fruit. Rhubarb is one of the first fruits that come into season, so I did it with rhubarb today. But you can do it with blueberries, cherries, peaches, you know, just change it up as the season progresses.
Okay, so this is rhubarb Johnny cake. Let's see.
With maple whipped cream, and a maple's a local maple also from Olivria Schoolhouse Maple.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And Jessica's holding it up for the camera if you're watching at WAMC.org on our live web stream. Oh, that's delicious. The whipped cream is really, that's something.
Good stuff.
That's nice. Yeah.
Homemade.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. If you call, I'm afraid we don't have food for you, but we have food for thought, and we would love to have you call in with your questions. So the farmer's market kicks off outside, but you go all year round inside.
We do. We're in the Rhinebeck Town Hall every other Sunday in winter. And then we go outside on Mother's Day, and everyone's excited about getting back outside. We do. We give away free seedlings to all mothers that come to the market that day.
Seedlings of what?
They're usually lavender, morning glory, lupine. The River Garden, one of our vendors, is a flower farm in Catskill. Mm-hmm. She donates all the seedlings, and we give them out to moms.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Ken, now you say in the winter you make the rounds of indoor farmers markets, even down in the city. Have you seen popularity increase for farmers markets over the last several years?
Absolutely.
He does actually, outdoor farmers markets.
In the winter?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing farmers markets. We're entering our 33rd year.
Yeah.
We started in 1982. Some of the ones we do upstate, we do Schenectady, we do Kingston.
Yep.
We do Hudson Valley Farmers Market, which is on Gregg Farm in Red Hook. And that's also all year on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And then we do some in Rockland and some in Westchester, but most of them are in New York City. At Union Square and other areas, Queens, Brooklyn.
Why do you think... Go ahead, Jessica.
Oh, I was just wondering. I have a question. I love going to farmers markets, but I don't know anything about what to do once I'm there.
What do you mean?
I'm wondering...
You walk around.
What could a farmers market newbie, when they first walk on the scene, what should they do? What should they look for?
I think it's good to go slow and scope out each booth. Maybe stop and chat with them. They love to talk to customers. They love to give you samples. A lot of times they have stuff that's not visible. It's back in the cooler. So it's great to just stop and chat with them. And then they'll start engaging you and talk about what they have. So rather than just go through with your eye, really take it slow. Spend some time with each booth. See what they have. Talk to them. See what they make with something if you're not familiar with it.
Is it competitive to get in? In other words, the roster of vendors. And we've had farmers market people, I think from Schenectady here, or maybe Troy, who said it's very competitive among those who want on the list.
It's very hard. I mean, Rhinebeck is 21 years old this season. So the stack of applications that we have of people wanting to get in is way more than we have physical spaces for. So, but on the other hand, there's been a lot of new markets opening.
Yeah.
So making more spaces for farmers.
Yeah, just the history of markets. In the early 80s when I started, there was about 300-400 in the United States. In the early 90s, it was about 1,700-1,800. And to date, we're over 8,000 farmers markets in the United States.
Is there a loose confederation of farmers markets? Is there any sort of organization?
Yeah, there's an organization called the Farmers Market Federation of New York.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Syracuse. And they run a conference every winter for farmers market managers, and we all get together. And
you're smiling, so it must be fun.
It's pretty fun.
Okay, convention, nice time.
Usually, if you're a farmers market manager, you're the only one in your town.
Ah.
So it's nice to go there and meet other farmers market managers.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Cheryl Paff is here, and Ken Migliarelli, and let's go to Jody in Cliftondale. Is that Cliftondale?
Clintondale. Hillary Clinton.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. You're on.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about dandelion greens. I forage dandelion greens. I pick them a lot. They're just starting to come up now. And what I want to know is there are some greens out there that look just like dandelion greens. There's like two or three or four of them, but they're not. And they look identical. And, yes, I try to pick the ones that have the yellow flower. But these others, it's so hard to tell them apart. And I was wondering if you could give me a couple of sentences about that. And I also just want to say that picked fresh dandelion greens are just awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, they're, and you have to get them before the dogs and the deer get them.
Dogs like them too?
Well, no, they...
Oh, I see. All right, enough. I'm trying, Ken, I'm trying to eat, okay?
But on the varieties, you're right. There are dandelion. Believe it or not, the ones you're picking now produce a yellow flower. But there's also ones, and you'll see them a little later on, and you'll see a blue flower. And it's not the same type of flower dimension. It's a smaller version.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many varieties. We grow about two or three different types of dandelion, actually. But what I would
you
say...
You grow them on the farm, or just they just grow wild?
No, we grow them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what I would say is these varieties that you're not sure of, when you bite into one, is it got a bittery flavor, or what's it taste like?
Well, the ones that I'm not sure whether or not they're dandelion greens, I don't bite into them. And
okay.
I don't...
Very smart.
Yeah, well, the ones that are dandelion greens, I cook them. I take them home. I soak them. I wash them. I chop them up, and I saute them, and they're delicious. But it gets very confusing because there's some that look exactly like dandelion greens. And there's one, actually, that I picked yesterday that looks exactly like a dandelion green, but it has a more like a felt. It feels more like felt almost. It has like a more fuzzy texture, and it looks just like a dandelion green, but I know it's not.
Right.
So,
well, without seeing it, it's hard for me to describe what it is. But there's a book. It's an old book, an old paperback called Eat the Weeds. So maybe you can go on eBay and purchase that book. There's many things you could forage and eat. There's wild mustard. And, and like ramps, like we spoke about.
Yeah.
I mean, skunk cabbage at very early stages you can eat, so.
Do you know anything about chaga? Is chaga safe to, like, pick and eat and drink, like make tea? It grows, like, on birch trees, I see it sometimes.
I see head shaking here.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Never heard it.
Okay, well, thank you for your answer. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'll check out that book.
Jody, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You know, Cheryl, before we started, you said foraging is very popular, and I was skeptical. Apparently it is. I would be scared to death of picking something out of the ground that I wasn't quite sure of, whether it had a velvety texture or not, and eating it. It seems like a sketchy proposition, but a lot of people like it.
A lot of people are into it. You do have to be educated. You do have to know what you're looking for. And like Ken recommended this book, because you can pick the wrong thing.
Yeah. And I mean, could you die?
I don't know if you could get
If you ate a lot of something, I'm sure, even like mushrooms, I'm sure there's mushrooms that are poisonous that if you eat just a little bit, you might get sick, but you're not going to die. But if you ate a whole bowl of them, obviously.
Yeah, put them on your pizza.
Yeah.
Not a good plan.
Right.
And how do you tell the good mushrooms to pick?
Well, there's a really good book. The Audubon Society has a really good book on mushrooms.
Yeah.
And there's all, and you have to be careful because, like, the Europeans have a mushroom that they eat, which there's mushrooms here that look identical, but they're poisonous. So, you have to be real, but the pictures in the book are really explicit and you can see what they look like.
Okay, we're joined by Ken Migliarelli of Migliarelli Farm in Northern Dutchess County and Cheryl Paff, owner of Black Eyed Susie's Food Stand and manager of the Rhinebeck Farmers Market, which finally gets outdoors as of, is it next week?
Next week, a week from Sunday, Mother's Day.
All right, let's go back to the phones and Ron and Colony. Ron, you're on.
Yes, hi. I just want to let that lady know that called just previous.
Yeah.
That chaga is the king of the medicinal mushrooms.
Okay.
It's fabulous. Okay. Fabulous mushroom. And there's a book just on that by David Wolf.
All right.
And he's also the author of, like, Superfoods and Eating for Beauty. And, I mean, he's, like, one of the top nutritionists in the whole world.
Okay.
And you can order the book. There might be one at Barnes & Noble. That's where I got mine.
Okay.
But it's chaga is just, it's really the king. And then, you got reishi. That's the queen. It does grow on birch trees. And there's, like, so many things you can do with it. Now, what I do is I just buy the tincture. And I use it,
All right. Fair enough.
And I just use that. So she's listening. It's David Wolf, Wolfe. He's the one that sells the Nutribullet, by the way.
Fair enough.
That you'll see late night on TV. That's kind of funny.
All right. Well, hey, Ron, thanks a lot for the call. Hey, here's one from email. This is from Trish. Is there a reason that it's so difficult to find fresh peas anywhere? We love them, but we can't seem to find them.
Ken's got them.
Well, they're not ready yet.
No.
And they're going to be late this year.
Just because of the weather?
Absolutely. We try to plant peas by St. Patty's Day. We didn't get them in the ground till like April 7th this year.
Okay, so when do you expect them?
June.
Okay, that's when we look for them.
And all the rain we're getting in May now, you know.
Yeah.
And you have both English peas and sugar snaps.
Yeah, we have the sugar snaps and the English or the shell peas.
Fair enough. Let's go to, before we get to the phones, here's another one from email. John writes, says, hi all, I live in Hudson. I like to make jams. I have black currants, are a new and healthy fruit, and would love to get some. Do you know a local source of black currants? That's from John.
Yes. One of the vendors in our market, Ray Towsey from Towsey Farm and Winery, grows several different varieties of currants. He has black currants, white, pink, gooseberries. He's our specialty berry grower. He's also a beekeeper, so he has great raw honey.
That's good, too. Now, you know, Ken, you had mentioned before we started that brewing is on your horizon, and it's funny how the arc of craft brewing and small brewing and the micro brewing is sort of following the farmer's market and getting more popular. So now at your farm, soon you will start brewing.
Right. We just got the license from New York State. Now we have to get the federal license.
Yeah.
So, and the reason that this big push for breweries and distilleries is because New York State in the last 3 to 5 years has made the laws more lenient to have on-farm breweries and on-farm distilleries.
Yeah.
So it's really spurring this new commodity. And because, you know, I grow a fair amount of vegetables, I've moved the last 5 or 8 years, I've been growing different grains.
Yeah.
And so I'm growing barley, which we're going to need for the brewery. And I've been growing rye for the distillery, so it's nice to have a rotation out of vegetables into grains.
Maybe grow some juniper and do some gin. What do you think?
Well, possibly.
And hard cider's making a revival.
Isn't that amazing? It really is. And it's all over the place now. Now, when you go to the farmer's market, will you be able to pick up a six-pack of good local beer and some cider and whatnot?
Yes, you can.
Well, that's nice.
You can get beer in the farmer's market, spirits, wine, hard cider.
It's another reason to go. Let's go to Hugh in Lake Luzerne. Hugh, you're on.
Hello. I want to offer a word of caution about skunk cabbage on behalf of my wonderful father-in-law, who was a great outdoorsman, worked for the Nature Conservancy, much fascinated with a book called Stalking the Wild Asparagus.
Okay.
And he ate things like cattail roots and fiddlehead ferns and loved them, and badly blistered his mouth with skunk cabbage and later found out, boil and sieve them 3 times or they'll hurt you.
What do you think, Ken?
I've never eaten them, actually.
Oh, really? Well, that's great advice.
But I know they are edible, but that's good advice.
So boil and sieve them 3 times.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Hugh. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. And let's go over to Susan in Selkirk.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question backtracking a little bit about fiddlehead ferns.
Sure.
Are fiddlehead ferns a specific variety of ferns, because my brother and I went out in the woods last Sunday and picked a whole bunch and cooked them, and they were horrible.
Okay. Well, Cheryl just said she doesn't know. Ken, do you know?
No. Sorry.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you stump the band, and Susan, I'm afraid you did that.
Well, Ken's a grower, and I'm not a forager, so.
Right. I mean, at what stage was the fiddleheads? What, you know how
They were just curled. They were just popping up. They were just, weren't a leaf yet. And we sauteed them with garlic and olive oil and a little salt. And both of us agreed they weren't worth the trouble.
Well, at least they didn't cost you much.
No, it didn't. Just a lot of work.
I'm sorry, Susan. Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Sue in Woodstock. Sue.
Yeah, hi. I would like to just say thanks to Ken Migarelli, because I really enjoy your stand at the Woodstock Farmers Market. Each week, you know, you got great stuff, nice workers, nice people who are selling your produce, and really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Sue, you got to say it right, though. It's Migarelli.
Sorry, Migarelli.
Now you see, now you got it. Well done. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Lynn in Shelburne. Lynn, you're up.
Hi. I'm so grateful that you have this kind of program on. It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
I do have a concern that if you're harvesting invasive species, if that doesn't promote species to continue?
We do harvest ramps, but when we harvest, we don't take everything that's there. We try to leave like at least a third of what's when we find a patch.
Well, I like that mustard stuff, like garlic mustard.
The wild mustard?
Is that an invasive?
Is garlic and mustard, Japanese garlic and mustard, invasive species?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I think maybe the panel might be stumped here.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about them earlier.
Garlic mustard?
I may be not saying it right, but it's some kind of mustard thing that you said might be a little bit like asparagus or something, but it has white flowers at the time of year.
Huh.
Were you talking about dandelion?
No.
I'm
not sure.
I don't know, Lynn. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That's but, okay. You know, if we're harvesting invasive species that should not be growing,
that's a good point. I don't know. I guess we could find out what's invasive, but are any of these invasive?
No, they're not
invasive.
They're
native?
Yeah, they're native to the area, I would say.
All right, we got to take a break. Lynn, thank you for calling. And Zach, the engineer, if you wouldn't mind, a little T-Bone Walker, and we'll take an underwriting break and be back on this Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Marbletown True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cast ironware cookware and specialty kitchen items. MarbletownHardware.com. True Value, start right, start here. Stone Barns Center for Food and Agriculture, Westchester, New York, helping to improve the way America eats and farms, offering spring and summer gardening, foraging, and cooking classes, stonebarnscenter.org for schedule, and the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preservenys.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, joined today by Cheryl Paff of the Rhinebeck Farmers Market and Black Eyed Susie's Food Stand, and Ken Migliarelli of Migliarelli Farm in Northern Dutchess County, and we're talking farmers markets, and there's a ramp fest tomorrow.
There is, in Hudson. At the Basilica in Hudson, there's an event called Ramp Fest, and this is the fourth year for it, and there's 16 chefs that will attend, and each one of them will create a dish using ramps, featuring ramps. And so guests get to just meander around and try each different
that's great.
Dish. Yeah.
So ramps don't stick around very long, right? There's a little time when they're available and people go crazy and then they're gone.
Very short season. What is it, 6 weeks?
I'd say four.
And it's underway now?
Yes, it's right in the middle of it.
Late this year, a little bit late this year, right. But it just started.
So we, in the break, tried the Bloody Mary mix you brought, Ken.
Yep.
Good stuff. This is your own tomatoes.
Yes. It's not my horseradish, but it's fresh horseradish.
Yeah, and it tastes fresh. And, you know, again, I would put a dash or two of Tabasco or something, you know, just to give it a little more zing. But
yeah.
Really delicious. It's only lacking one key ingredient. And it's the vodka. That's right. Bob in Gilderland. Bob, you're up.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Thanks for the show.
Nice to have you.
As you can tell from the accent, I'm from the Bronx.
Okay.
Ken, you had mentioned earlier that your family's from the Bronx, and Ray, you couldn't imagine the Bronx with farms. But the Bronx got its name because it used to be called the Bronx Farm, and it was owned by a wealthy family called the Bronx, B-R-O-N-K. And people from Manhattan and some of the other boroughs used to go up there on vacations.
Yeah. Well, you know, my dad was from Hempstead, and I couldn't picture that as it was when he was a kid, which was all farms, too. It's just, you know, progress, unfortunately, does that.
But that's how it got its name. It was called the Bronx Farm.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, and we will move on to Joanna in Claverick. Joanna, you're on.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I was a suburban girl who moved up here to Columbia County, but I must have been way ahead of my time because I was foraging in our suburban lawn,
yeah.
which my father didn't actually feel needed to be fussed over. So we had lots of dandelions and things like that. We were those neighbors. But there was the one time my friend and I, and we couldn't have been more than six or seven, went out, and I said, we need to have some of the mushrooms because mushrooms are really good. And that's what we did. We set about eating the natural mushrooms from the lawn.
Oh, boy.
So I was ahead of my time. Nothing happened, but my mom and dad took us both to the hospital anyway just to be safe.
Yeah.
Fortunately, obviously, I'm here years later to tell about it. But
did you get
it's
sick?
It's really funny. No, they made us get sick. We didn't naturally feel inclined to get sick.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be sure that we would be okay.
Did you have any visions or anything?
Yeah, no, sorry to say.
Okay.
Unless it explains all the other things that have gone on in my life.
Ah, you see,
life.
Now we're getting
that's
somewhere.
It. Now that's it. Now I know.
All right, Joanna.
But yeah, so.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, and thank you for all the work that you guys do on this, on the food movement and everything as well, and farmers.
Well, thanks for being part of it today. Let's go to Isaac in Woodstock. Isaac.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to love the show, first off. I just wanted to throw in a word of caution.
Okay.
I heard there was somebody recommending the eating of skunk cabbage.
All right.
I grew up in the Hudson Valley, and my mother ended up in the hospital once trying it out. I think it's probably not the greatest green to forage and try to eat. There's plenty of other wonderful things like watercress and mustard greens and lamb's quarters. And stay away from the skunk cabbage.
Okay, this is why I'm petrified of doing anything like foraging. Because, all right, this is the second call where a mother or a father ended up in the hospital. What happened to your mother?
I think it was burning and excessive gas, and it immediately made itself apparent. But it's really just not a great green to eat. It's kind of disgusting, actually, too.
Fair enough. Well, I appreciate the word of warning. Let's go over to Nancy in Chatham. Nancy.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
I'm
calling in regard to that a previous caller that talked about berries, was looking for currants, I believe,
okay.
From Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to add in that there's a great spot not too far from him in Chatham, the Berry Farm, that has a great assortment of berries and a lot of notes for
yeah, I'm currants
and whatnot.
I'm familiar with them. Joe. Joe's yeah. the owner. Joe.
Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert. Yep.
Yep, he's
good
got some great greenhouses set up and nice selection of stuff.
Cool. Well, thank you, Nancy. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's a Food Friday. Cheryl Paff is here of Black Eyed Susie's Food Stand and Catering and manager of the Rhinebeck Farmers Market. Also, Ken Migliarelli of Migliarelli Farm in Northern Dutchess. And back to the phones we go. John in Florida, Mass. You're on, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I had an answer, actually, for the fiddlehead ferns.
Oh, yes.
That's called an ostrich fern, and there's some distinguishing features so you can identify them.
What was the question? You have the answer, but I forgot the question.
Well, the woman wanted to know what type of fern to get the fiddleheads from.
I gotcha.
So it's an ostrich fern.
All right.
When they're short, tight to the ground is when you want to get them. No more than like 2 or 3 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
And they have like a onion skin, like a brownish tan onion skin covering on them.
Yeah.
And that's one identifiable way so you know you got the right ones.
Cool. Well, that's great.
And that was about it.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Jean in Knox. Jean, you're on.
Hi. Good. I was going to say ostrich ferns, too. And I was also going to say another really great way to support local farmers besides farmers markets is to buy a share in a CSA, the Community Supported Agriculture.
We've talked about this, too. That's a great thing. A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, because you buy a share now and then you get fresh vegetables all summer long in season.
Is that something that you're a part of, Ken? Do you guys do that?
We supply a few CSAs in the city.
Yeah, okay. it's a great, they're all over the capital region, too. So.
What a lot of people like about participating in a CSA is that you get a box of vegetables every week from the farm that you're a member of, and a lot of times you're given something that you're not familiar with. So it encourages people to try
makes
new
you
things.
Think and make
yeah.
you work. And
something
right.
they might not buy.
Yeah, and you were saying how you do your menu by what the farmers are doing. I mean, that's what it's just like that. You just punch in your little the ingredients you have and put
yeah.
it in Google or something, and out comes this cool recipe.
Try something
it.
New. Like Ken grows kohlrabi, and most people, a lot of people don't pick that up. But if they're given it in the box, they'll try it, and they love it. It's delicious.
And then they like it, right?
Yep.
So thank you. Thanks. Great show.
Thank you very much, and have a great weekend. Here's one from email. Emily says, hi, Ray and guests. That's us. A caller asked if all ferns are the fiddlehead. Well, a lot of calls about the fiddlehead ferns. A caller asked if all ferns are the fiddlehead ferns that are foraged in the spring and sold at markets. As I understand it, says Emily, no. It is confusing because most, perhaps all, ferns unfurl in a spiral fiddlehead shape when they first start growing in the spring. But the fiddlehead ferns that are foraged are eaten, are a specific variety of these. That's why if you pick and eat a young fern that looks like the head of a fiddle and it isn't that one variety, it may not be as delicious as you think it should be. I don't know if some wild ferns are harmful or poisonous, but I'm aware that the delicious ones are a single variety of fern. I have learned more today about fiddlehead ferns. In fact, I never even heard the word fiddlehead fern before this program began. Now, well, I'm an expert. Tampa Ray in Great Barrington, you're up. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I have, let's see. First of all, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This isn't my question.
Okay.
But the song that played right after my friend Lynn spoke, I would love to know who it was, if somebody can look it up for me.
Say it again. I'm sorry, sir.
The person, the music that played after Lynn.
Yeah, the music going into the last
I'd
break.
I'd love to know who that was.
Yeah, I put that in. That was about 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, but let's get to my question.
All right, fine. Yeah, go right ahead.
Cowslips or marsh marigolds. They've been a fuss for me to try to prepare. I think they absorb tannic acid, perhaps, from the place where they grow. How are they properly prepared?
Ah, now there's
it's
the
marsh marigold or cowslip.
Well, Cheryl, this one's in your expertise. Go right ahead.
No, it's actually not. I'm not a forager. You know, I'm.
But can you prepare them?
I don't know. I mean, that's not something that I see in the market. And I've been in the
you
market.
You wouldn't. This is definitely a forager's green.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's out of our range. By the way, the music you heard was a group called Focus out of the 70s out of Holland, and you heard a song called Mother Focus. So that's that one. And now we go to Mark in Salem. Hiya, Mark.
Hi. Just that man's question about the marsh marigolds. You have to pick them before they blossom. If you pick them after the yellow blossom comes on, they get very tough and rather unpleasant tasting. And as far as preparing them, you can steam them lightly, and that will drive out any of the acidicness. But I was calling because, well, we up here in Washington County, we have a lot of farms and a lot of farmers markets and such. But one of the things that I was turned on to when I was about 50, and I'm in my 60s now, and I said, I never thought I was going to eat it, was the milkweed, the very top of the plant, the last maybe four leaves on the plant, the new growth on the very top. It won't kill the plant or hurt it, and it gives you another excuse to have milkweeds growing for the butterflies. But you take the top four leaves off or so, and the young ones, and you wash them in cold water, and then you can steam them like spinach, and they taste better than spinach, freshly picked spinach. I don't know if your guests have ever eaten milkweed, but I hadn't eaten it, and the friend who told me about it said that his father got stopped by the police because they thought it was marijuana he had in the car.
Well, he wasn't smoking the milkweed, was he?
No.
Okay.
But it was funny that he got stopped for it. But I've had them for many years after that, put them in alongside your main course, and they just steam them like they would spinach.
Fair enough.
Very tasty.
Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And Sue in West Hurley. Sue, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I tuned in when the show was already in progress, so I'm not sure whether this was already mentioned, but I heard Cheryl was on, and I worked with Cheryl at the Farm Festival in Woodstock.
Yeah.
And she's so great. I just have to put that in there.
She is pretty great, and she makes a nice Johnny cake, too, I might add.
Oh, well, that part of her I didn't know, but no.
It's a good part.
She was such a great manager of the Farm Festival there. And I just wanted to say something about the Farm Festivals,
yeah.
Which actually, since I've been listening, since I called, I read about the Ram Festival in the Kingston Freeman, and it sounds like such a great thing. But also, I just wanted to say about the farm markets, as much as it's about the fresh produce, and this was my experience in Woodstock at the Farm Festival, working with Rick and Cheryl. That it's so much about the community, and it's such a weekly thing that everybody in the community knows this is where I'm going to be going. So to me, it's as much as part of the community as it is about the fresh produce. They kind of go hand in hand. And I love the whole shift from the big box stores to the farm festival.
And I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. That's why we're seeing such a huge growth of these. And Ken and I were talking about in all the years that he has been doing these, just the growth across the country in popularity. Yeah. So, Sue, I think you hit the nail on the head, and you made Cheryl blush, which was pretty amazing. So,
oh, good.
Good job.
Well,
hi,
she's
Sue.
Very dedicated, and hi, Cheryl, and I hope I respect her completely, and she does a great job.
Well,
but.
Sue, thank you very much for the call. You're blushing.
That was very nice.
All right, let's go over to Lois in Del Mar. Hi, Lois.
Hi there, Ray.
Nice to have you here.
I grew up in southern New Hampshire. I was interested to hear you say you've never heard of fiddleheads before. We didn't call them fiddlehead ferns. We just called them fiddleheads, and we went fiddleheading.
Oh.
And my parents invented this wonderful system because the fiddleheads would have a kind of a brown papery cover over them when they were still tight, and that's when you had to pick them and eat them is when they're tightly curled up. That's why they're called fiddleheads. And so they had this system with some big buckets and fans, and we'd blow the fans, or maybe it was out of the back of the vacuum cleaner, to blow all the brown stuff out. And then my mother would parboil them a tiny bit and then freeze them, and we'd have them over the winter. They were a wonderful treat. And back then in southern New Hampshire on a farm, dairy farm, my mother never cooked with garlic and olive oil, so they were just steamed. But they were delicious with just a little butter and salt and pepper.
Now, I see you're from Delmar, which is my town. Do you see fiddlehead ferns around there?
We used to go to a riverbank, I think, along the edge of a riverbank. Does that sound right to your guests?
Yeah, that sounds, yep.
That'd be where they are?
Yeah. They're in the Reed family, yeah. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Lois, we're out of time, but thank you for calling. Here's one. We'll just wrap up here with an email. This is from Callie, who says, hi there. Great show. As a member of the Mid-Hudson Mycological Association, I feel I should comment on foraging mushrooms. While most mushrooms are just inedible and choice edibles are rare, there are a couple of kinds of mushrooms that can kill you in a few bites or make you wish you were dead. When foraging, one rule is to avoid LBMs, little brown mushrooms. As there are so many similar kinds, it takes an expert eye. Also, once you are sure you know a mushroom is edible, but you are still an amateur, there is a two-stage, 24-hour safety test. Many good books out there, plus mushroom hiking clubs. Thanks. Well, that's good. That's a nice bit of safety to end the show. No one die from listening to this show. That's one of our number one rules here. Now, Cheryl, some business here. Your farmer's market goes outside next week.
It goes outside Sunday, May 11th, Mother's Day.
Rhinebeck Farmer's Market, and where is it?
It's 61 East Market Street in the village of Rhinebeck.
Okay. Is there a website?
RhinebeckFarmersMarket.com.
Very good. And Ken Migliorelli, or Migliorelli, if you will, in Northern Dutchess, what's on tap for you in the next month or so?
Greens. We'll probably be picking radishes, arugula, and Swiss chard, and many other greens. Probably the next 2-3 weeks, till the latter part of May, and then the summer vegetables start coming in June.
So, how can people find out more about your farm?
www.miglarelli.com.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here today. Thanks to everybody who called in. What a lovely time. We learned about fiddleheads. Good times all around. Support comes from GG Trattoria, Rhinebeck, Hudson Valley Mediterranean since 2001, expanding their farm-to-table catering with their easy, entertaining seasonal menus online for small impromptu or large gatherings, gghudsonvalley.com. Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. And Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, HudsonValleyFresh.com. Lovely show, lovely week. Everyone is lovely. Well, not Zach Malloy, our engineer, but he did a good job all the same. Colleen O'Connell answered your calls. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend.